Summer. There's just something about it. The blistering sun, the aroma of a barbie.
Getting stuck to the seat in the car.
And of course, cricket.
That's how it's done.
From these tiny seedlings will grow graceful willows. Not planted simply to please the eye, but for a specific purpose.
Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin. Trade strong. This is Triple M's Willow Talk.
Yes, Triple M Cricket is back with Willow Talk. What a cracking day of cricket we had at the Gabba on day two, and we're gearing up for another wonderful day on day three. Australia 323, Sri Lanka after getting out for 144 in the first innings are 1 for 17. It means that there's a lead of 162 runs for the Aussies, but bugger that, the only score that we want to talk about is 77, Michael Vaughan and Greg Blewett. England, what is going on?
You're good, Eula, aren't you? Good timing. Now, I've been over here for 2 months. Your team have been playing like a bag of spanners. All of a sudden, England get bowled out and say, do you want to come on the show? Oh, yeah, of course I'll come on.
Nah, the Windies are a good outfit at the moment.
Very good outfit. Yeah, they've always been the greatest team. Yeah. Mm. Got from Quicks, probably the greatest Quicks that have ever played the game in Roach. Well, Shannon Gabriel, Jason Hold. You name a better trio than that.
Well, you talk about our batting. You've got a few issues your way, apart from Mr. Root.
Well, I think we've got more than a few issues. I think the England team are very clever. You know, they have been for a while. If you're ever going to lose a game in 3 days, it's Barbados. Jet skis, pedalos, rum, Mountgate, extra old, golf. Blue, you
I'm
like your golf?
You. Yep, I'm
four,
with
four, four of probably the greatest golf courses that you're going to play. All right, you start the test match as favourites to win. You lose in 3 days, but your handicap comes down by two by the end.
Happy days.
Perfect week.
Kemar Roach, 5 for 17 in the end. Keaton Jennings, top scored for England with just 17. At least when we were horrible, we had someone stand up like
Can
Steve
I just bring
Flick.
To your attention, right? Australia, one Australian have got a century this year in your home summer.
No, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Correct.
Do you know the last time that didn't happen?
Maybe it didn't happen ever.
No, when there was one or more test match in Australian conditions in your home. So when was the last time that happened?
1886. But guess
Very
what?
Very good, Neralyn.
England didn't get a century altogether.
1886 to 87. They're the record you lot are beating.
All right, okay.
Now, we'll see. Before we move on, Bluey, you have been around teams that have really been all out for not very much at all. How bad is it? What's it? Take us inside the sheds after something like that. Trent Bridge, for example, you were in around the Aussie camp. I think you experienced one as a player as well. Where are the eyes going? Are they at the ground? Are they darting at other people? How's the feeling?
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. And you're right. You sort of don't know where to look. You don't know really how to address it or when to address it. As you said, I was part of the management that got bowled out for 60 at Trent Bridge in 2015.
Blame the coach.
Mr. Broad went through it. Through us, and I was also part of a team that was bowled out for 29, and I was skipper. South Australia.
It's a bit of a common denominator in these, isn't it? Been helping England out this last week?
I won the toss at the SCG, batted. We were all out for 29. just before lunch, and New South Wales replied with 9 for 430 declared.
How does that happen?
No, honestly, it was a freaky day. So the pitch was actually...
I'll tell you how it happens. The pitch it's bad leadership.
No, the pitch was damp, moist. So I just thought, well, if we just get through the first hour or so, we'll be fine. But we didn't. And then when we were walking off at lunchtime, the clouds parted, the sun came out, they rolled the deck, and it was the flattest pitch of all time. So
I have to say, you look at dismissals, and you do get days when the ball is doing plenty, the pitch is kind of offering loads, and you make the odd mistake or two. Moeen Ali in Barbados... First ball. He's caught fine leg hooking. Caught fine leg hooking first ball.
Well, same with that Trent Bridge 60. We nicked.
Yeah, we weren't caught fine leg hooking. You were snicked. He's caught fine leg hooking. Well, taking on the with it. First ball.
He's getting on with it.
Oh, it is Michael Vaughan's debut on Willow Talk. You've got plenty more of that great stuff coming up throughout the next couple of hours. Day two at the Gabba, it was pretty entertaining, fellas, and we're gearing up for day three, but it was a good day for the Aussies, a final ball wicket to Pat Cummins. It was just what the Aussies needed.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? There were six tricky overs that Sri Lanka had to try and navigate, and I think the Aussies would have been thinking at least one wicket, maybe two, and it was looking like None until that last ball. So that was a bit of a bonus for the Aussies. But the batting, Harris missed another opportunity out for 44. So, you know, he's a good player and he looks classy at this level, but you can't just keep getting starts and not going on
with
it.
Was it a classic case of starting the day again? Like, you're starting your innings on 40, but it was like he was out for naught again when he came out to bat?
Yeah, he was just trying to get started again. He played a beautiful cover drive the ball before, and then he just looked... He got his feet all wrong with the next ball, so I don't know whether he was looking for another full ball, but he would have been gutted to get out like that, as would have Labuschagne, who made 81, and Travis Head, who made 84. They would have been looking at making their first Test match 100. As Vaughan is saying, we haven't had a Test match 100 yet.
1886.
This summer. But what they did do was get their team into a very good position after a shaky start. So that was a really important partnership from two young players. So, yeah, gutted on missing out on 100, but at least they, you know, got something going for the team.
Does it become mental when, I mean, it's such a chopping and changing squad, so it's not the one player who keeps doing it, but does it become mental from a broader point of view?
Yeah, I think the chopping and changing didn't help because players start to feel a little bit under threat, not too sure whether they'll be playing the next week, will they be going on tour, so there's a little bit of psychology involved. But, you know, look at Labuschagne, I thought he looked excellent. You know, I've not seen a great deal of him. From what I saw of him yesterday, technically he looks strong. You know, he's got a forward defence. You know, there's not many players in this area can defend a ball full of length when it's on a round-off stump with a nice transfer of weight. Like the way that he worked it on the onside, like the way he played spin, he gets back and he kind of works it on the onside against the off-spin and then gets back and punches it through extra cover. He looks a player. You know, he surprised me because I saw a bit of him in Sydney and now I've seen him firsthand. I can see that he's got a real chance because... He read the situation. His first 35 balls, he got two. Mm. And then all of a sudden, he kind of worked the situation, worked out the conditions and started to go up in the gears. I thought he looked a really good play. Soft dismissal, but, you know, he's South African, by the way. You've gone down our school. You've gone down England's school.
We've got four Queenslanders in the squad and they're all born in four different countries. That's how well we're going.
Well, it's worked for England for many years. You know, we've had them all, Kevin Peterson. We're now getting Joe Farage. You've got to get your fishing rod out there and just get it as far as you possibly can. Get some of those Afghanistan players from the Big Bash game playing for Aussie.
That'd be very handy.
That's right, Rashid Khan. How long does it take?
He's got seven brothers, so we can...
4 years? I reckon they changed it for recently.
Well, Joffre Archer, we England
trying to get him through in 2 years.
Yeah,
they?
To make sure that he plays in the World Cup.
But I mean, what about Marnus Labuschagne as a story though? He's 10 years old. He moves out from South Africa to Australia. He takes one of the great catches of all time as a substitute fielder against India 4.5 years ago at the Gabba, his home ground. As I say, as a substitute fielder, he gets a wicket and a run out before he even scores his first test run in the UAE. And then all of a sudden he's Australia's number three and everyone's going cocoa bananas over the selection process. And now he's gone back down the order a little bit, but comes out and produces a pretty handy innings. And as he said on Fox Cricket, he left a ton out there.
Yeah, one thing that he's got going for him is that the coach, Justin Langer, absolutely loves him. So we know what sort
always
of character... Yeah,
handy.
You know what Justin Langer's like. He's a feisty little guy and that's exactly what... Marcus Labuschagne is, he's up for the battle. He loves his fielding. He bowls some handy overs. And as Vaughan's saying, he's got a decent technique. I worry a little bit about, I think he's going to be a bit susceptible to an LBW. He does go across a fair way. But, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for good characters that want to be up for the battle. And that's what
I can see why Justin Langer likes him.
Yeah.
You know, again, this was my first hand of looking at him. He catches like a beauty. You know, he took those third slip catches with his eyes shut.
Yep.
That's always handy. I like his attitude. I've seen him in training and around the group. He looks like he's that committed guy that you also need. And with a bat in hand, he's got control. You know, and there's not enough players in the whole of the world game that as soon as the ball bounces or moves or your team are under a little bit of pressure, there's not many players that'll go, you know what, the Pujara style, I'm just going to bat time. I'm going to see this hour off. Marnus did exactly that on day two.
I wanted to get both of your thoughts. Did you feel like the declaration came too late? Were you surprised? I mean, there wasn't a lot of runs on the ball, but were you surprised that Tim Payne didn't want more of a crack under lights?
Yes. I thought there were probably three or four overs that they wouldn't have minded tonight bowling. So I think that's a really good point. I saw the captain, Tim Payne, going down to Pekowski to run out a message.
It's the most nervous Pekowski's ever been.
He's like, oh, do you want me to run the message?
He was fine scoring 200 against WA, but I'll tell you what, trying to get the declaration message out there, he was crapping himself.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a difficult one because, you know, that the Australians would have wanted more runs, but they, you know, they know that it's a difficult stage to bowl as well. So I think they would have loved another three or four overs, ideally.
Yeah, I mean, if Australia had been winning, you know, I'm sure they'd have pushed on soon and potentially give Sri Lanka 15 overs, but they're not in that position at the minute. They've just got to win the game and they've let the game take its natural course. They've got the late wicket. Let's be honest, on day one when the sun was shining, Sri Lanka were bowled out for 144. So day one, session one, it did a bit. Day two, session one, it did a bit. You know, you look at the way that Latmal's bowled throughout the whole day. You know, he gets a couple of quick ones early on. And, you know, I think tomorrow today, the Australians with a new fresh ball in the hand, it doesn't matter whether the sun's shining, the lights are on, this pitch will do plenty. It always does at the Gabba.
Loads of carry. We're going to revisit the day that Greg Blewett led a team to all out for
29
after the break. I tell you what, the producer has tracked down the scorecard from all out for 29. I'd just like to have an honourable mention for extras who came in with three. just looking at this scorecard, we've got Plant, Duck, Blewett, 4, well, Cosgrove, Duck, Adcock, top scoring, 8. Ferguson, Duck, his times have changed. He put in one of the great performances.
He got 100
this week
in the second innings, actually.
Smith, 5, Manu, 4. Cleary, 0. Cullen, 3. Tate, 0. Well, that's nothing new. And then we've got two at the end there. The bowling figures, Nicholson, 1 for 13. Bracken, he had an absolute day out, 7 for 4. And Stewie Clark, 2 for 10. Nathan Bracken, I mean, this was when he was probably at his peak.
Yep.
He's an interesting character, Bracken. He would have been up and about that day.
Oh, he was certainly up and about. So we, as you can imagine, we were all out 29 and New South Wales have gone out and it's completely different conditions and they've just brained them for the rest of the day. So at the end of day one, we're just sitting around going, what has gone on here? And Nathan Bracken comes into our rooms and said, Bluey, you got 1 second, mate? I've got 7 tickets here. The 7 guys that I dismissed, can you get them to sign? I said, Brax, mate, please depart our change rooms and let's sort it out after the game.
How would you have handled that, Morty?
And I said,
what about?
I think we may have just used the dump button.
What about also just to cap that?
Morty's been on the Night Watchman too much on Fox Cricket. He thinks he can get away with anything.
Can't come and ask for a ticket to be signed by the batsman. He's cleaned out.
I know. Well, I basically did tell him to do whatever. So, but what about after day one as well? So we're sitting there going, all right, well, this is great. I've just told Brax to piss off, and then. Next thing, knock on the door and it's the drug testers coming in and want to test basically 3 or 4 players. And our coach, Wayne Phillips, said, you want to test our players for performance-enhancing drugs, do you? Did you just see what I saw? 29 all out.
Maybe they were just going to give you a tip of what they should have taken.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Help you out a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. Is there a story that springs to mind across your career, Vaughnie, where somebody has just done or said something either out there or in the sheds and you've just gone, you're kidding me, right?
But Caps, similar story to Bluey. Captain at Yorkshire, David Byce, did exactly the same. Leicester away. Chris Silverwood's in the England squad playing at Trent Bridge. He's 12th man, so he's not picked. So they allow him to come and play at Leicester for Yorkshire. David Byce gets it in Hull. It's a green time. He said, look, we'll just have to fight for the first session. Sun will come out, back the rest of the day. So as Chris Silverwood's screeching through the gates at Leicester when we're 36 for 8... He has to get out of his car quickly, run up the stairs at Leicester, get his mums and dads on and stream out to back. We were bowled out for 44.
That's good.
Yeah, 15 more than your lot.
That's right.
Yeah, similar story.
Just reliving your
glory days. And there was a guy, do you remember that West Indian guy that used to sport singing, Brandy Time! Yeah. He used to always at the bottom of the stairs and try and bring you a cake. You know what I mean? Want a cake? Brandy Time!
Sorry,
every time he gets a wicket, and he's a big Leicester fan, that's what he's shouting. But he's underneath our balcony, we're like, Brandy Time! Shut up, you muppet.
I reckon you've been told that a few times.
Plenty.
The WBBL final is underway and it is an absolute cracker after two of the best semi-finals we've ever seen across any men's or women's, to be honest, boys. I couldn't take my eyes off the TV last Saturday when these two games were going on. It was just such a wonderful advertisement for women's cricket.
Yeah, it's been a great competition, but fielding, you know, the fielding in the semi-final, the catch and the run out, the flying kind of stop on the boundary, keeper with his gloves off, throwing down the stumps, the super over. Yeah, it's been great. I mean, but I have to say, Elise Perrott is a wonderful cricketer. How she doesn't get in the Australian men's top six, I'll never know.
Mate, she should get a run in the England top six at the moment. All out for 77.
Wait a minute, has she got an English passport? You got me thinking.
Well, you mentioned how good that the
fielding
was.
She bowls quicker than Sam Curran.
She's got better hair and probably... No, I shouldn't. Well, you spoke about how good those semi-finals, the fielding was in just those dying moments. Let's have a listen to how it all unfolded.
Where does Jonathan bowl and where does Carey get this towards a super over? Has it cleared the boundary? Gone! The Heat are in the final! What a catch! What can Molyneux do? Two for a tie, three for a win. She's got a four. The Renegades. No, stopped. There's confusion. Run out. She's been run out.
Oh, my
word.
I think
it's a dead heat.
It is.
It was brilliant fielding out in the deep. Gets the throw perfectly to Elisa Healy, who then has to get it to the other end for the run out, and she's just out by a few inches. But Elisa Healy, she was superb with a couple of key moments.
That was just a natural reaction. She just got the ball and then took her glove off and then just looked at the stumps, quick, you know, beautiful release and did what she had to do, hit the stumps directly. So, yeah, if the final's anything like the semis, it'll be a great day.
As a fielding expert like yourself, you would have been pretty happy with those bits of... A
couple of great efforts. And the catch by the Brisbane Heat girl was fantastic as well. Under pressure, she knew that if she had to stuff that up, it was game over. So running
six,
at full
it?
Pelt. Yeah, exactly. So great cricket.
It was absolutely unbelievable. No doubt about it. Elise Perry and Elisa Healy are the stars. They've admitted that they want to be greedy. They want the WBBL and the WNCL to go along with their Southern Stars performance. Elisa Healy, of course, was player of the tournament as well. She's the biggest star and the most informed in the family at the moment, I must say, Warnie.
She is, correct.
Oh, yeah.
That's
she's,
right.
Yeah. She just needs to try and find the radar. And wherever the radar is in the house, just send it to Mitch.
Oh, God.
Just send it.
I think she's beating Mitch at golf as well at the moment, too.
I think she is. I think that's actually true.
What's Mitch like off the tee? Does he spray on left and right?
No, he's not bad. No. Not bad.
Straight down the middle?
Yeah, just swings them a little bit off the tee, mate.
I tell you what, though, they are sledging each other within the family because I interviewed Ian Healy for Cricket AM and went to air this morning and he actually said, yeah, Starkey under lights, he was spraying them a bit. He was erratic, shall we call it. At some points, I didn't know whether he knew whether he was bowling to the left arm or the right arm. I said, you're the in-law. You're his uncle now. It's brutal stuff in that house.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. I bet it's good around the Christmas table, though. I bet there's plenty of banter. Yeah, the radar, it just needs to be found for Mitch.
Now, Bluey, a big honour is about to be bestowed upon you. There's been some greats who have had this honour. I think we call them Adam Gilchrist and Aisha Gua. There's also been people like Howie and myself. So, you know, you've got to fit somewhere in that spectrum, surely.
Nervous,
all
Blue.
Out for
very
29.
Nervous.
Yeah, good luck.
It can't be worse than that. Take it away. Top five.
Now on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Five.
Howie's top five.
All right, top five best debuts by Australians in Test Match cricket, Vaughnie. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready for this? Number five, I've got Brett Lee. I was actually playing in this game and I really enjoyed it. He was bowling at searing pace. So this was against India at the MCG, so the Boxing Day Test in 1999. He took 5 for 47, including a wicket with his fourth ball. But the pace and the sheer terror that I saw at short leg on the Indian faces, I'm giving him number five. VTech, all right.
Good start.
Coming in at number four, Michael Clarke on debut at Bangalore against India as well. Made 151 in 2004. Happy with that?
Yeah, very good.
I think he's missed the point at the top five, just quietly. It's supposed to be a bit of fun here. It's all very serious.
Serious. Is this like
it's supposed to be blokes.
Is this for wisdom?
All right, this next one. This next one hurts me because he loves the limelight. I'm giving it to Damien Fleming on debut against Pakistan at Royal Pindi in 1994. Took a hat trick.
With the LBWs?
I don't know.
Because I'm just thinking of DRS. Would they have been out now?
I don't think.
Are you taking away Flemo's hat trick from him?
I don't think the opposition team's got LBWs in Pakistan. Did they?
Well.
Not then, anyway.
Well, it depends what they were up to at the time.
Righto, number two. Adelaide against England. Ashes, a young man, strides to the crease. And he makes 138 in 1991. Mark War.
With the mullet?
With the mullet.
Yeah.
Using his Schlesinger. So Mark War coming in at number two. Now, number...
And he never mentions it.
No, I don't know if you've ever heard him mention it.
I don't think number one will ever be beaten for an Australian. What about this? Figures of 8 wickets in both innings at Lords versus England in 1972. Bob Massey took 16 for 137. Swung it both ways, round corners, played 5 more tests. So decent career.
Unfortunate. You've missed the obvious one. Is that number one, yeah?
That's number
you've
one.
Missed
I'm
the
done.
Obvious one.
Which one?
The best Australian debut of all time has to be Darren Patterson. Darren Patterson made his debut for England as an Aussie in my team. I'd never met him. And he was at breakfast and he said hello and I thought he was a fan. I'd never met him. And he made his
you
debut.
Have fans.
And I we got bowled out and then I can't remember anyway. As soon as he goes out to bowl, I go into the dressing room, it's all kicked off because the media have gone berserk that this Australian has been picked for England. You know, all I wanted to swing ball, apparently swung in, he did, he bowled all right. But within an hour, we're going back in the dressing rooms and the media relator is coming and saying, oh, it's all like the fan, it's all kicking off. So what's happened? He said, oh, his dad's done an interview. And the first thing he said, oh, my son, he's a fair dinkum Aussie. As he's putting his 3 lines on. Yeah, he's the greatest ever Australian debutant.
You
got it wrong there, Blue. He got a few, I think he got 2 or 3, probably our best bowler, but he never played again. The selectors just, they got a bit of a pasting for it, to be honest. We got hammered.
Yeah. I would have thought Jimmy Patterson might have been up there as well. 5 for 27. It wasn't bad.
A lot of fives on debut.
You did all right, didn't you?
Yeah, I just got 100 on debut.
Yeah, I thought you'd just put yourself at number 5.
And won in my second test as well.
Yeah.
He also led his team to all out for 29 after.
Hey!
We are very, very happy indeed because Australia are in a commanding position for once this summer and England were all out for 77. It's a beautiful day to be alive on this Saturday morning. And Triple M's Willow Talk is brought to you by Irwin Tools. If you demand performance and durability on the job site, then it has to be Irwin. With Irwin's vice grip locking pliers, quick grip clamps, record vices and Weldtec circular saw blades, you'll get the job done right first time. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin, trade strong. You nervous heading into the Ashes, Vaughnie?
That was very good, Naz. if the Ashes were played in Barbados, I'd be worried.
We've got plenty more coming up on Willow Talk because we're going to have a look at what was one of the most entertaining knocks you'll ever see in the Big Bash, courtesy of... Well, Bluey's former teammate, who was absolutely deplorable when they were out for 29 back in the day. We're also going to have one of our favourite segments, which is Cricket Stock Market. And I get the feeling that Vaughnie's in a mood not to hold back. Australia in a commanding position as we look ahead to day 3 at the Gabba. They dismissed Sri Lanka for 144. Then the Aussies made 323. Sri Lanka, after Pat Cummins striking on the final ball of day 2, 1 for 17, giving the Aussies a lead of 162 runs. Vaughnie, what happens today at the Gabba?
Australia win. I can't see anything else. I mean, you look at Sri Lanka, I feel for them because they're going through transition. There's a lot of kind of corruption charges that are taking place in Sri Lankan cricket. No Angelo Matthews here. You know, the Jayawardenes, Sangakkaras, Muralithans, they've gone. This isn't a great Sri Lankan team. You know, we've got to be honest, they're struggling a bit. Yeah, Australia, if they don't whip them out today, there's some serious problems. I would actually love Sri Lanka to get what Australia have got in the first innings. They also have to chase 144. That would make me chuckle a lot. Because I think there'd be a panic on under the lights.
144, isn't that about twice what you scored in the...
Oh, here we go. It's actually not. It's 10 less.
I know, but I said about. But the fact that they've also...
And we've got a second innings yet in Barbados. Another two nights on the run, the boys will be flying.
That, by the time we finish this show, it'll be all over, I reckon. Kumara is down and probably out as well with a potential hamstring and back injury. I mean, as Vaughty just said, they came in so undemand and now that doesn't happen. Help mid-test.
No, it doesn't help, does it? He was not too bad, actually. He bowled 14 or 15 overs and I reckon he got up near 145, 146, so... That's decent, but you're right. As soon as you lose one of your quicks, they're playing three quicks. Chimera has been a bit off too. He looks sore as well. He left the field a couple of times, so he looked like he was limping.
Kerry O'Keefe said they were all watching Love Island.
There was something happening in their dressing room because they all wanted to be in there.
Yeah,
they were
coming
in the
on and off.
Yeah,
yeah, but and Lakmal, obviously he's their workhorse. He's the leader of that attack and was really good. Yesterday with his fifer, and then Pereira, the off-spinner. So it's basically almost a two-man attack at the moment. But I'm with Vaughty. I think it's going to be all over today.
I think the Aussies may win before the lights take effect. I think
really?
It might, yeah.
Does that hurt you?
No, not really. No, not really.
A couple of days off?
No, I don't worry about it. I mean, if Australia can't beat the Sri Lankan team over the next 2 weeks 2-0, well... Don't even bother getting on the plane to England.
Yeah, I mean, you'd want to do well against West Indies, wouldn't
we'll still
you?
But, we'll be still getting on the plane, mate. Don't
yeah,
worry.
You will. Yeah, you will. Now, you won't be bringing much back. But
I wanted to talk a little bit about a bloke who I can't wait to see bat again, and that's Dick Weller. He was so entertaining. It was like Rishabh Pant 2.0. Yeah. I mean, the shots that audacious ramp shot for six off of Mitchell Starc. It was fun to watch.
And a great name.
Yeah, great name. He's a goer.
I'll let that go through to the Tequila.
He's a goer, and that was entertaining, wasn't it? I even love more his appealing behind the stumps. You know, he just loves the game, and he's very energetic. So
not very good.
He's one bright light.
Yeah,
for
not very good at reviewing Sri Lanka. I felt they got the reviews wrong on day two.
Well, they didn't get any right.
Why would you review on a night watchman?
Well, as I tweeted you narrowly, Nathan Lyon probably got the second best technique in the Australian batting lineup, so they were concerned. Pat Cummins, Nathan Lyon, best technical players in the team. Probably Labuschagne's gone up there now. He looks like he's got a technique on him. Yeah, they didn't quite get the reviews right. I think some of these captains forget that the review system was brought in for the howler, like the stinker. You know, hitting Nathan Lyon's like heel. Not too sure that's a howler.
And as I responded to you, Shimron Hakemeyer, 81, England, 77.
Do you know what? Junior War, he's not like text me at all. I've been over here for 2 months. Not text. England get blown up. So I've had 12 messages off him today.
He does that. He does that, Junior. He might have mentioned that he scored a ton on debut as well. And taking catches is like shelling peas.
And he'd go for $2 million in the IPL. Yep, he mentions that as well.
It's like cricket bingo with Junior. You get them off every day. Tick, tick, tick. Now, we want to talk a little bit of Big Bash because... I tell you what, Sean Marsh, 96 not out, out of the test team, continues his wonderful white ball cricket. It was off just 55 balls for the Scorchers. Enter Callum Ferguson. Unbelievable. Before this week and what happened, his highest score in Big Bash was 52. He posted 113 not out off 53 balls. It was obscene.
That was beautiful striking of the cricket ball. 8 fours, 8 sixes, and in a run chase as well. That's what's even more impressive, trying to chase down a big total. He's just a class player. He's been around for a while now, Ferguson. I know.
Ever since 29 all out.
He got 100 in the second innings, though. And he is a very good white ball cricketer. Vaughty, you would have seen him over in... He was playing for Worcestershire in our winter, your summer, and he absolutely brained it over there. So... There is word around that he might be a bit of a smoky for the World Cup. I think he'd go really well, you know, just someone to really...
Worcester would be absolutely gutted.
Well, don't. Who cares about Worcester, mate?
Lovely, we're talking about the World place Cup. To play. They've got a nice river.
But anyway, I was really pleased. I mean, that was, and Shane Watson said it after the game. It was one of the best T20 knocks he's ever seen.
I think he is a really good player, and I just feel for him. I mean, he 100%. Plays that one test in Hobart. You know, he run out the first innings.
Scott, brother, tell you what, run out brother, in the all out for 82. I think it was.
His brother flew in from England, and I'm more concerned about his brother. I don't think he's been seen since. Does anyone know that he's still alive?
Lockie Ferguson, can you please get in touch with us and let us know that you are okay?
How Callum Ferguson was treated by Cricket Australia was nothing short of a disgrace. Disgraceful.
That is a good word.
Yeah.
I like that, Bluey.
Mm.
That's it. Disgraceful. He should play. You know, he's a good player. You know, he's got the game. He's got the gift. He's a good fielder. Good lad. Yeah, he should have been playing a lot more.
I just want to pick up on that because Callum is, I mean, just to be serious for a second, Callum is one of the nicest people you will ever come across in your life. I've never heard him say a bad word about anyone. He's somebody who was piled on the runs. Now he's obviously a precarious position for Australian cricket and maybe he just came through at the wrong time. I don't know. But what was it about the way that he was treated that upset you the most as his mate?
Well, the fact that he only played one game. If you get chosen for Australia, the reason that you've been chosen is because they believe you're good enough to play for Australia. So to only get one game is shocking. Like there was a couple of unlucky dismissals. So I think there was one where he tried to duck and it stayed a little bit low and I think may have got his bat or his glove and he was out. And then the run out as well. So look, I just totally disagree with the way that was handled. Full stop. Just the one test for a good player.
Would you like to see him back in the test team one day, or do you think that's past him?
I think at the start of this summer, there was probably still a glimmer of hope, and he didn't nail Shield cricket at the start of this season. So I would think that it's gone now, you know, because we're obviously now looking ahead to the Ashes. They'd be pretty close to knowing who roughly would be on that plane to England, and I'm sure Fergie's not going to be there. So another year will go by. You know, that whole thing was just...
White ball cricket, you should be looking at that kind of player.
Yeah, the only thing with Fergie, though, is he, because of his knee injuries, he's had three knee reconstructions, and he does have a few issues with calves and hamstrings and that sort of stuff. So if he's fit and firing,
he's batting... And he's a bit like Usman Khawaja on the treadmill in the field.
Has he got bigger calves than you?
Yes, he has. I can confirm that. Everyone has.
Tell you what, though, Lockie Ferguson walking out, throwing the beer everywhere as he stormed out of the stadium down in Hobart. And he's a great fella. I interviewed him the next day and he sort of said, no, I was just really annoyed that I spilt my beer. That's all it was. I was just off to get another beer with his slightly English accent because he's been based over there.
I worry about him because I've not seen him since.
Lockie Ferguson, get in touch. And it is time for one of our favourite segments.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M.
Nobody.
Cricket stock market.
So, Vaughny, just to explain to you, cricket stock market, because it is your debut on Willow Talk, buy, sell or hold. Mm. You guys get to decide and tell me your reasons why. Buy, sell or hold, pink ball cricket.
Buy. Yeah, I like it. I wouldn't play it every week, but I think... What it's brought to the game is a different vision. I think it comes through the TV great. I think the visual of the pink ball stands out. A couple of games that my family have been to, they love it because the kids, they can sit in the sand, they see the pink ball better than the red ball in the day. So, yeah, I'm buying that all day long.
Buy. They've improved the ball. The big issue was the ball. The ratings are very good in this country when there's a day-night test match. So, definite buy for me.
I just think it's great fun. All right, buy, sell or hold. Geez, I feel a bit bad. I love this bloke and we've absolutely hammered him today. So be positive, please. Buy, sell or hold Mitchell Starc.
Buy. Buy.
Buying it.
He's a... You're not going to just...
Can't hit a cut.
You're not going to... No, you're not going to... Okay, so, you know...
He took his 200th test wicket.
That's right. He's got 200 test wickets at 28.
What's Saranga Latmal? Who's the king of the swingers?
He's got, I don't know how many wickets.
Well, he's a lovely guy.
He's averaging 40 in test match cricket. Latmal.
Yeah.
So you'd rather Latmal over Mitchell Starc?
No. I'm saying when he got his 200th test wicket, he got Latmal out. I mean, well, come on.
Well, he's got a few
I'd
other...
I'd get him
got
out.
Got a few other decent players out of those 200.
Well, I know it's a bit of an unknown word here in Australia. You're not allowed to use it, but just saying, pre Sandpapergate. Mitchell Starc averaged 27. Post, he's averaged 40.
Buy, sell, or hold. Will Petoskey's debut being...
Okay, no, but what's he doing?
So I'm selling.
You're selling him.
Yeah, right, I'm selling. Okay. I think he's got an issue. I just think his action's not right. He'll come back, I'm sure. But just at this... If you're asking me to... Is it a sell now for this next few months? Or forever? What is this deal? What is this game? Is it forever or for a few months?
Beep, 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 beep. Some breaking news coming in. I've just received a text from Callum Ferguson. He's up and running in London, working as a lawyer. Got right amongst the Worcestershire Rapids juggernaut during Vitality Blast. Lockie Ferguson is alive and well, ladies and gentlemen.
That's marvellous. Well, I'm buying that.
Will Petoskey's debut being pushed back? Buy, sell, or hold? Vaughny, I know you're strong on this.
Being pushed back. So that means if I'm... So I'm selling it. Is that right?
He should have debuted today,
yes.
Yeah, he should have played all day long. No question he should have played.
It, for people who don't know, can you explain their county cricket situation?
Well, if you play one time, that's not the reason why I think he should have played match solely, but it would have been a nice reason to get young players in. You can go and play county cricket. If you play one test, you get a 24-month period that you can go and play in the county, Graham. You know, if you look at the Ashes in England, all these young Australian players would have got picked up by counties because most of the real high-class players are either in the World Cup or the IPL. So the likes of Petoskey, Patterson, Labuschagne have got a great chance of playing county cricket, which is, you know, what all the great Australian players back in the day kind of came over and schooled themselves playing the game. So I just think he's a quality player. I mean, I spent all week on YouTube studying him and he's not even in the bloody team. It's the only time I've done some research on a player. And I'm like, he's not playing.
Maybe you should ask him if he's got an English passport up. Will Petoskey's debut being pushed back, Bluey? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a sell for me. I just thought he was going to play. And
who would you have not picked?
I wouldn't have picked Labuschagne. So it makes me look a little bit silly now because yesterday he made 81.
Credit to you for owning up to it.
No, he wasn't in my side. So I would have had Patterson at 4, Petoskey at 6.
Do you know, I'd have put Khawaja to open. And the reason why...
So no Burns or no Harris?
No, Burns wouldn't have played. Yeah. And the reason why is that Khawaja, he got that 100 in the UAE. He opened in Sydney. You know, I think Australia are looking too much at David Warner coming straight back into open. Khawaja can't play off-spin. So at least give him the chance to face seams. So when the off-spinner comes, he goes to England in a few months' time. Moinang, all right, Moinang's not a great, great off-spinner, but he'll have him on toes.
He's a good bowler, Moinang.
Yeah, because Usman Khawaja struggles with the spinning ball. He also struggles with the ball that goes straight on, as we're seeing from Pereira. So give him a chance to get some runs at the top. And also don't think that David Warner has to open the batting. In England, he averages 19 in the first innings. He's got an overall average of 37, never got 100 in English conditions. Someone like Warner, in English conditions, might be better suited at 5. Going against the spin, run them ragged. Or at number 3, I'd have pushed Khawaja at the top and have had Petoskey somewhere in the middle, if I can speak.
What about all that research that you did?
Well, no, Patterson would have been 3. I've got Travis Head around the middle and I've had Petoskey at number 6. Labuschagne stayed in because he played in Sydney. One game, you know, in his comeback. I don't agree that you play one game and you get dislodged. Didn't agree with the way that they treated Peter Hanscom. I didn't agree that he should have come back in Sydney. You know, I'd have put probably Aaron Finch to have a go in the middle rather than Hanscom come back. So the selections from Australia have been a bit confusing for quite a while. So, yeah, Petoskey should have played.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M.
Nobody.
Cricket stock market.
Triple M Cricket is back with Willow Talk. All right, the cricket stock market continues. I'm not sure about this next one. The producer has given me... I'm not even convinced I should read it out, to be honest, but...
It obviously involves England.
England is immoral to win the World Cup.
Immoral?
Immoral. It'll happen.
Yeah, immoral. It'll happen. I'm buying that.
You're buying that?
Yeah. If England don't win it this time... I'm sure
they never will. Is that
well, because it's in English conditions. The team have played incredible now for 2 or 3 years. The brand of cricket they've got is the style of cricket that puts all teams under pressure. My one concern is India. My real concern that England, you know what it's like in these, you know, Champions Trophies, World Cup, the ICC take over the running of the grounds. Come semi-final time, top four will qualify, so every team plays each other. I'd be amazed if England aren't in the top four with the way that they've played. So they get to the semi-final. like in the Champions Trophy, the arriving Cardiff. Oh, surprise, surprise, they're playing Pakistan. Maybe the ICC want a Pakistan-India final. It's very dry. Very, very dry, and it's spinning. Oh, right, we're in England. No, you're not. You're in Wales, but it always spins there. No, it doesn't, but it does this time. That's my only kind of worry about the World Cup, that England could get outdone by a Pakistan or an India in a semi-final.
I'm a hold. Cause
holding?
I'm holding.
You just don't want to say England are going to win.
I'm about to say that England, I think, are favourites. I'm not saying they're going to win, though. Because they'll feel the pressure at some stage.
Yeah, they will.
India are an outstanding team as well.
Because everyone said, you know, England will have home support. Of course they will. But India will have more support. You saw the Indian support in the one days in the T20s. You know, India will have the most support throughout the World Cup because of their travelling army. Mm. You want to avoid India. If England can avoid India before the final, you know, I think they've got... If they get India in that semi-final, I worry for them.
And Australia will be there and thereabouts too.
Do you reckon?
Yep. 100%.
100%?
Yep.
Wow.
They'll be there and thereabouts. You mentioned the top four. Australia will be around that.
What have you seen the last few weeks that maybe me and Nez has missed? Because Nerilly's face was the same as mine. 100%. At least say 80%. 100%.
Does there and thereabouts mean that we'll be there? We'll board the plane and we'll
turn up.
No,
that's good.
No.
Well, thanks for turning up. World champions have decided to arrive. Oh, cheers, bro. Got on the big Qantas Air 380 in. They've arrived.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
No, they'll be okay.
As far as
whether they've got, have they got enough in terms of spin and the way that they play spin? Because there'll be loads of spin. The wickets will be dry.
Yeah,
and you know, not playing Zampa throughout the whole series. You've got to play wrist spin. You've got to, and also you've got to get Darcy Short in the team, giving it a whack and bowling his little tweakers, left arm tweakers. Then you've got Glenn Maxwell, Zampa, and Darcy Short, and then you mix your seamers around that. Then you've got half a sniff.
As far as closeness of the competition goes, the WBBL has been more entertaining this season than the BBL. Buy, sell or hold?
I'm buying that. I think it has. I think there's been better games.
It's been more super overs and things
like that. I don't think there's been many great games in the Big Bash. Two or three. Been some good individual performances like Callum Ferguson's. Just the other day, I mean, Rashid Khan's been very good. He was better at the start. There's been some quality seam bowling at times, but... yeah, I'm buying that.
Do you know one of my favourite performances of the BBL season was Cameron Bancroft carrying his bat for the Scorchers a couple of weeks ago? Yeah. And I said to Vaughnie, I said, oh, geez, it's a fair effort carrying your bat, particularly in the Big Bash. And do you know what he said to me? Former England captain. Yeah, especially when
he's
opening.
On an off moment.
He said, especially when you're opening. I just stared at him and I went, that's what it means.
You got me off guard.
You're on Perth time, were you?
Jet lag, just arrived. Been on the piss in England all Christmas and arrived back and all of a sudden Nerilly hits me with that. My mind's everywhere.
The moment that it dawned on him what he just said, it was...
He's played nicely, hasn't he, Bancroft?
I was so disappointed it wasn't on air. I was so disappointed that wasn't captured for prosperity. Finally, buy, sell or hold. It's okay for wicket keepers to wear short sleeves.
No, that's a sell. That's a sell. No, there is an unwritten law that that keepers cannot wear, what are they called? The floppy hats.
Mm-hmm. And brimmers.
Yeah, and short sleeves.
I've seen
Brendan McCullum do both.
Where is it?
Amongst the keepers.
Okay. Yeah.
They're a bit of a union.
Seb Gotch.
So I'm buying that.
I actually think,
you know, we're in a modern new society and it will become trendy that probably the keepers will end up with just like vests on and it'll just be arms of tattoos. And that is going to be the look for cricket. You've seen how many tattoos Ashton Turner, look at his arm. Tattoos.
Buy, sell or hold.
I'm buying it. I like it. Do what you want behind the stump as long as you catch the bloody thing. You're going to catch the ball, haven't you?
Triple M Cricket is back with Willow Talk. It's been absolutely wonderful having your company this Saturday morning. I'm not sure the same can be said for the Muppet in front of me, Michael Vaughan, but thank you very much for making your debut. I'm not sure it counts as one of the best debuts of all time, but I will at least give you that it was better than the rest of your countrymen, 77
It's just too early, isn't it?
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
That's Stumps on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Yes, they've done well.
Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin. Trade strong.